fellow freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael. Preservative Talk Radio back at you. And today, it's Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And very often on the radio on this day, I quote things out of his letter from the Birmingham jail. But we've got some other weird things going on in this world, and I need to address them. And it's a playoff of something that happened on Thursday on this radio show. I was talking about behaviors of young men and clothing of young ladies and everything like that. And I said some things that were pretty candid, but I think appropriate to think about. And there's something that popped up in the news here in Tennessee about a church pastor in Memphis and some of his conduct and some of his response to accusations, things like that. So I'm going to talk about that today. I had several other things that I really wanted to talk about because this show is not just about today. It's not about the news today. It's about what's going on tomorrow. So you're going to experience here at what I call Preservative Talk Radio. You're going to experience education and equipping and actually reaching back. We're going to reach back and figure out what is the truth that each of us should be relying on for these decisions and opinions you have of those things that are being flashed at us by the mainstream media? There's a question. Most of you, if you get in conversations with your friends, you have an opinion. In the area here, I'd say in southeastern Tennessee and northwestern Georgia, northeastern Alabama, most people have sort of the same worldview. And so a lot of times when you have conversation with each other, you're just kind of nodding. You're saying, yep, that's right, yep. That's what you say, right? Because you just agree. You say ditto, right? It's just, yeah, I agree with you. The problem is the rest of the world, I don't know if you notice it, they're being influenced massively by, and I'm going to use that term again, the mainstream media. There's an advertising education system that's bombarding our nation and our listener and our neighbors here at Nuga Radio have a different perspective. You're benefiting from having the different perspective. Your families, your life, your business, they all benefit from having, I think, an old school view of right and wrong. It's an absolute view. It's a real view. It's reality. So we want to emphasize that here and basically encourage it here at Nuga Radio. It's important for us as a society to stick together, but also not just to repeat like a little mantra, like we're chanting something to one another. But let's review the reality of the things that we need to be thinking about. And I will tell you that I'm going to come at things with a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. And that's what I do. The number here, toll free, it's going to rhyme, toll free 833-469-6397. The catchy phrase there is 833-4MY-NEWS. Contact me, David Allen Carmichael. I call my show Preservative Talk Radio, broadcasting at Nuga Radio. So thanks for listening. This main topic that I want to talk about today, and I'm going to read off a couple of titles here, says Tennessee pastor who admitted sexual... Oh, I got to step back. You know, kids are out of school, and you're tuning into the radio today, and there's probably some kids that are with you and that aren't normally with you during the day, and you might be tuning in, and this is definitely PG. Definitely PG. And the only and I'm going to avoid some explicit things that are mentioned in the news articles. I'm going to dodge some words because there's certain things that don't need to be left to our imagination nor talked about. I'm just going to act like we have a moral society and these things are just so strange. That's what I'm going to do. So just if you've got kids that are 6 to 8 years old, something like that, you know, or more, or 10, 12, depending on how well that you've protected them, just think about, you know, tuning in today and just realize you may want to move them to a different place. Here we go. Here's the title. Tennessee pastor who admitted sexual incident with teen prompting standing ovation placed on leave. Some of you may have seen this in the news. And then here's another article, how the evangelical culture of forgiveness hurts victims of sexual abuse. And that is at, I got that from slate.com, an article by Ruth Graham. And here's other things. Here's accusations. I'm going to call up another file here. This is by the Kansas City Star. There's an article by Lisa Gutierrez and Adam Darby that pretty much quotes what the young lady, or now probably a 37-year-old, said about something that happened when she was 17. On Thursday, I talked about dads and kids and talked about dads talking to their sons about the behavior. And the one thing I was kind of talking about was pull up your pants, kid. You think you're cool. It just looks stupid. And you'll figure it out when you're 22. So we're going to talk about young men and the age of reason. I said that in ancient American law, English law, that we understood that 21 was the age of reason. You can put people in jail now at 18 for things they do, but indeed, 21, 22, that's when you start getting your brain together. That it really is. And again, I have two sons. My youngest is 22. And I've observed, and I've been doing youth ministry since 1987. So I've observed that at about 22, brains are not finished developing completely, but they're pretty darn near. But prior to that, there's a lot of stupid you can do, and there's a lot of things you can regret. So one of the things that my wife talked about recently to me is we're having a young men's retreat probably the end of February, first part of March. And she said that I need to talk to them about courage, as chivalry, about what is the role of the man, and teach our sons what is right and what is wrong, and not to just let them flow through society and all of the video stimulus that they're getting online and in movies and things like that. Don't let that corrupt community raise your sons. So we're going to talk about that through this article. And also, I want to talk about young ladies. Young ladies are I think, underprotected in American society. I would say, again, in Nuga Radio, generally, compared to the rest of society, Nuga Radio listeners protect their daughters as they ought to. You know, say a higher statistic for you Nuga Radio listeners. That's critically important. And people mocked me because I have my oldest daughter now will be, I think, 30 this year. And my youngest daughter is 19. And people would mock me because I would not let my daughters just go out and do stuff and kind of be unchaperoned. And some of their friends would go out and do stuff. And well, I can't. Why not? Because my dad and mom, they won't let me. Oh, my goodness. You have just ruined their lives by being overprotective. Well, you ask my oldest one's married. You ask her husband whether I was overprotective. I think he's satisfied with the protection that I provided for my daughter. He's pretty happy about the protection that I've given my beautiful daughter, who is his beautiful wife and the mother of his beautiful children. And some of us haven't done that necessarily as good as we might have wanted to. And you know what? It's water under the bridge. Try to do your best with every moment you have from this point forward. But I'm going to advise those who are tempted to not be like one of those dads who's like overprotective and stuff. Go for it, dude. I will tell you, you will not regret being overprotective. What you will regret possibly is being underprotective. So, with that said, I'm going to talk about this article here, and it's going to be kind of brutal here. A young lady said, well, she's 37 now. One evening in early spring of 1998, 20 years ago, I was hanging out with my youth minister, Andy Savage, at my church, Woodlands Parkway Baptist Church, located at 10801 Falcon Wing Drive. I believe this is in Texas. I was 17-year-old at the time and a senior at Woodlands High School. There had been multiple kids there at the church after school, but as the night got later, I was the only student left alone in the church with Andy. I did not have a vehicle at the church, so Andy offered to take me home to my mom's house. Things got not too good after this, so I'm going to review this, and this is important for our Preservative Talk Radio audience. If you're 17 years old, guy, pay attention. I told my sons that, guys, you're going to behave just like me. You're not going to have any special privilege that I don't have. So I'm going to treat you like a 40 or 50-year-old man. When you're in a situation where it's just you and a young lady, guess what you need to do quickly? find a chaperone. I don't care if it's platonic. Oh, I have no interest. I don't care what you have, dude. If I'm in that situation, if I'm in a building and there's a lady and we're alone, you know what I do? I step out. I call for help. I call my house, just say my house is about a half mile from my church, and I call my wife. I say, send one of the kids over or something. I will do something to make sure that it's not just me and somebody else. I was in one situation. I was teaching a computer class, and I found myself alone with a lady who just couldn't help but talk. And she kept talking. And I tried to call my wife. Nobody's there. Oh, my goodness, what are we doing? It was cold outside. I would say this is the most precarious thing I've ever done, is I made sure that I was sitting probably 12 to 15 feet away from her. That seems a little weird and a little awkward, right? A little not intimate for a deep conversation. I was about 12 to 15 feet away from her, and I made sure that I opened up all the windows, the covers on the window. I made sure that there was nothing covering the windows, so that when anybody came by, that they would see us clearly. And if I was ready to run, if this lady got up, she wanted to get closer to me physically, I was ready to run. Now, the difficulty is, who knows what she might have told somebody happened during that little half hour post-class kind of, you know, she was looking for some spiritual guidance. It's possible she was looking for spiritual guidance. But I was ready to run. Children and men, when you have a young, here's another instance. I'm a soccer coach, and I'm left with some teenage girls. I made sure that when people are ready to leave, I would not let them go. No, you can't go. Why not? Because it will just be me and the young lady. So you're stuck. Until her mom comes, no, you three people are not leaving. See how this is working? It seems kind of crazy, right? But guess what? Victory. No accusations. Actually, no temptations, huh? See? Well, I trust myself. Don't. And I told my sons, don't. You're not trustworthy. I'm committed to not trusting you, young men. I'm committed to not trusting any young man or old man. Those are practical things that I've done to make sure things don't go crazy. Let's see what this article said. I was 17 years old and a senior, and I was the only student left. That was the beginning of the end here. Last night, in fact, I was here last night, and we had a little thing where you have a youth meeting at my house, and there were three young ladies there. They're in high school, and my daughter's there, and she's 19, and a young man was there, and they're ready to go off, and his sister's there. So the young man and the two girls are ready to go off to a young adults meeting, and as they approached the door, I said, stop, because there was three teenage girls there and me. That's not going to happen. Okay, so I told him, don't go anywhere. You're not going to be late. Just stay here until either this other married couple that shows up or my wife. Somebody's going to have to show up here, or you guys aren't going anywhere. You see how this mindset is? There's this practical way of doing things that you, and this is going to be a long conversation, because I might even want to talk about churches doing criminal background check. I'm actually a little bit miffed at churches doing criminal background check on people they've had for 30 years, as if they're incapable of examining your own people. And I think the churches, what they do is they fail to examine their own people, and that's why we have a lot of problems. But I'm stepping back a bit. So let's treat everybody like they are somebody who misbehaves. So I treat myself like I'm somebody who misbehaves. That's what I do. I treat my sons like they're somebody who misbehaves. I make them, I do a protocol of propriety. So let's see this article again about this young lady, and again, the situation that she says that Andy Savage 20 years ago assaulted her. And I'm looking at this. If what she says is true, it's aggravated assault. There had been multiple kids there at church. But as the night got late, I was the only student left. So we know, don't let there only be one student left. I did not have a vehicle at the church. Ooh, see, this lends itself to what they call aggravated assault. If you've ever heard the term aggravated assault, what that means is, let's say I am standing someplace and I get offended at somebody and I swing a punch at him. That's assault. If I'm 50 years old and I have a 14-year-old, little skinny 4'8", 14-year-old, and I'm like a church leader, a teacher or something like that, and I swing a punch at him, that's aggravated assault. I'm in a position of authority. I have much greater strength and maturity, and the person is in a position where they're much more vulnerable than the average bear. It elevates itself to aggravated assault because when somebody is in a position of authority or position of power, or a person is in a, their victim is in a place of vulnerability, it becomes, in some cases, aggravated assault. So here it was. I did not have a vehicle at the church. So Andy offered to take me home in my mom's, to my mom's house. Stop. Now I can think of an incident when I met my wife, and I actually asked her to give me a ride home, and she was a teenager and I was 21 at the time. And I was stupid and I didn't have protocol in my life. And I asked her to take me to, I was actually, and I'm a sailor. See how things are getting worse here. I asked her to take me to the base because I was hanging out with a bunch of kids from church, you know, her and older people. And I said, one, I was actually very interested in her. And I was actually frustrated with the fact I was interested in her because I was trying to not be distracted by girls at the time. I'm trying to really walk with Jesus and not be distracted. Yet here's this lady. I'm extremely attracted to her. I actually asked her to take me to the gate, to the shipyard that was about a mile down the road. And she was driving a 37 Chevy with one of those diving bell horns, you know, whatever the, I don't know what they're called. But I said, hey, I've never been in an old car like this. Could you give me a ride to the base? And I was actually trying to escape some other people that were at the meeting. I would just anybody give me a ride home except these other people. Now, she didn't have a protocol. Her parents didn't have a protocol that they taught her. She gave me a ride to the gate. Guess what? Fortunately, I behaved myself. And on the way, I actually, it's the first time, if you might think I'm schizophrenic, but I actually knew that it was the first time I ever heard a word from God. And I was praying on the way. It's kind of a side story. I'll tell you about that later. But the point was that she was giving me a ride, and that was an inappropriate thing to do. I'm in a situation now that I do not give women a ride. I'm a minister of the gospel, and there's times when I need to give people help. And sometimes that means giving them a ride in a car. So what I do is I gather them up. I gather up somebody. I go find somebody that will go to me, that will either give them the ride or go with me to take the person on the ride. And I had one incident where a lady and nobody would help me, and I had to take this lady to the doctor. And so what I told my wife is, I said, I'm going to turn on my digital recorder, and I'm going to record everything that's said. And I didn't tell the lady I was going to record everything that was said. But I made sure that I had my digital recorder on so somebody after the fact could monitor the entire event. Okay. So it sounds extreme. This is reality, guys. We have to hold ourselves, especially as men, as leaders, to the highest standard, to set the highest example, so that when we talk to our kids, they're not going, oh, he just doesn't practice what he preaches. You got to preach by your practice. Let's continue on here. The young lady said, we reached a dead end and he turned the truck around before putting it in park. And before I continue on here, I'll just remind the listener what you're listening to. I'm David Alan Carmichael. It's Preservative Talk Radio. And I'm talking about an article. This came out this past week about Pastor Andy Savage from Memphis and going back to an incident that happened 20 years ago when he was the age of 22 and a young youth minister, talking about, we'll come up with those ideas too, who you're going to hire to take care of your kids, age of 22. That's a little bit weird, but let's go ahead and continue to read. We reached a dead end, and he turned the truck around before putting it in park. We were stopped, and he turned the headlights off. Ruh-roh! Second thing I tell my sons. Sons, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to take somebody in your car, go down to a dead-end street, and turn your lights off. You're going to hang out with these young ladies either in our living room with her parents, with us there, whoever, or out in public. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this very strange incident and how it matters to you. Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael, back here with Preservative Talk Radio. We're going to be here Monday through Thursday on Nuga Radio. It's my show I call Preservative Talk Radio because my goal is to actually preserve society, preserve the Nuga Radio listener from Chattanooga and out to the hinterlands. Yes, and all of us in these, what did they say? There's broadcasting over a population of a million people. That's pretty good stuff. As I was going away, there was an article here about Andy Savage of a church in Memphis, Tennessee. And he has recently, just this past week, somebody sent a letter saying that he had essentially, I think, would be called aggravated sexual assault when he was a youth minister at the age of 22. And she was 17. And in the previous segment, I explained how that she was the only one left there at church one night. He drove her home and he ended up driving down into a dead end road I guess it's a pickup truck, and putting in park, stopped, turned off the headlights. Parking is not the thing to do. And again, I admonished the parents to make sure that you're overprotective of your kids, that you have extremely insanely high standards of chivalry for your young men. And teach them to protect the reputations of a young lady and their own reputations, notwithstanding their hormonal craziness that they're experiencing from the age of about 17 to 21, and when they finally start to become sane. Now, in this incident, the young man was 22 years old. He is now 42 years old. This is 20 years later currently that this came out. And I'm going to kind of, before I get into too much information in here, I'm going to go to another article where it explains why she did it. And it turns out that she had seen all these kind of things that were going on with these reports of people being discovered that they had committed assault on somebody. And so she sent a letter to Pastor Andy Savage and said, "Hey, you remember that night when you drove me home from church and tried to, I don't know, I guess the goal of the letter was some sort of reconciliation or accountability. I'm not really sure." She says that the letter was not responded to. So I guess that's, you know, the message there is burned, so to speak. And so what she did is she thought, well, you know what? This guy's kind of up and coming mega church and he's not responding to my, "Hey, we need to talk about this." And so maybe somebody needs to know what happened. That's what happened. She let the church know. And recently, I believe it was this past week, Andy Savage went to his church in public. I guess it was on television, and said, "I had a sexual incident with a teenager, a 17-year-old, when I was 22 years old, while I was a youth pastor in Texas. And I apologized to her, her family. I was held accountable to leadership." And her summary at the end of a letter and things that she told the news was, actually, that wasn't true. That her side of the story was that the pastor, or even the, you know, current Andy Savage, had not at the time reconciled with her, had spoken with her parents, but did not explain to the parents the depth of what happened. So I'm going to read what she says. What happened after they parked and the headlights went off, she says, and I'm going to leave some words out here. "Suddenly, Andy unzipped his jeans and," I'll leave that for those of you who know what that means. "He asked me to," and I'm not going to say exactly what he asked. This, she says, "I was scared and embarrassed, but I did it." One of the things that we have to, especially parents, is talk to our daughters and go, wait a minute, we got to have empowerment. There's certain conduct that is totally wrong. It doesn't, and I will tell you that my young wife-to-be, she held me accountable for my behavior. She called me on my, you know, when I'm kind of like maybe too affectionate, or, hey. Okay, yes, ma'am, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let's read the Bible. And that's what we had to do, man. We're like dating. We're like, man, we need to read the Bible. You know, because we're going to get married. But you know what? In the meantime, we're going to have to find something to distract us. So we made sure we hung out with her parents. We made sure we hung out with her parents. And we made sure if we were hanging out together, that we were doing that so focused on things that were noble that it would never lead to those things that were not noble. this is what he says. She said, "I was scared and embarrassed, but I did it." Now, if you, it's fine, kind of hard for us to sometimes think about that, a young lady responding that way. But you know what? Their brain has not developed at that age either. They're still crazy, and they still have hormones. They have natural desires for the, that lead to procreation. But they also need to be protected, to be trained, to empowered, to have pre-planned responses. I don't know if I was really good at that, but I tried to have some pre-planned responses told to my daughters. And now that we have an age of cell phones, it can be helpful because you can call for help. I was scared and embarrassed, but I did it. I remember feeling, now look at this. This is the psyche of a young lady that, that most young men, I don't know, intuitively may have figured out. I remember feeling that this must mean that Andy loved me. So they're not in their right mind. They're at an age of their life where they need to be protected. He then asked me to change the configuration of my clothing. I did, and he started touching me. I'm not going to tell you where. And after what I believed about 5 minutes of this going on, he suddenly stopped, got out of the truck, and ran around the back to my side before falling to his knees. I quickly reconfigured my clothing. Now I was, and he got to his knees and he was begging, like, "I'm so sorry." She says, "Now I was terrified and ashamed. I remember him pleading while he was on his knees with his hands up on his head. Oh my God. Oh my God. What have I done? Oh my God. I'm so sorry. You can't tell anyone." She felt manipulated and used, that guilt and anxiety were eating at her soul. She said she took her accusations to church leaders, but the police were never called. She said that the associate pastor would inform the head pastor and the church would deal with the situation. And Savage, she said, went on as though nothing was outside the norm, teaching a workshop, True Love Waits, about sexual purity and abstinence. Now, this was not on my list of things to talk about today. And one of the things that I'm committed to in this is going to the news and finding what the issues are in the news and addressing it. And this is, you know, I see some mainstream media would love to just take this guy and rake him over the coals. I think there's a certain amount of raking over of the coals that are going to happen because as a consequence, as a natural consequence of this incident. Even as the confession, I believe, that was done in public did not really properly address the details of what happened. And I think what's happening is there's going to have to be some conduct, some correction that's going to happen in the church, even though this was 20 years ago, because of even how it was responded to. Point here is, I figured there'd be some benefit to talk about some of the stark realities that we have to deal with in raising our children. And also, I was kind of being a little bit flippant on Thursday when I was talking about young men and being brain damaged and having their pants falling down and things like that. And also an encouragement to parents to know that these guys are insane and to have like a protocol of dress that is not leading to send any signals, you know, when you're trying to make your daughter look cute and in the guy's eyes, it's hot. Let the dad say whether or not it's cute. If dad doesn't think it's cute, I would lean with his perspective. And it may seem confining. It's for your good. It's for your survival. The other thing is, as we recently, my wife and I, we were involved in youth ministry. And one of the things that was mentioned as they were considering my wife and some of the things she does and my age and things like that, they said, "Well, look how old they are. They're in their 50s. You know, maybe we should get somebody who's a little bit more closer to their age." And I thought back and we thought about, you know, we've hired a couple of guys right out of college in the past. And we remember some of the catastrophes that happened with young, immature men that are trying to learn to be ministers and they're practicing on your children. What we didn't bring up, this is the person who said it, we didn't remind them at that time when we thought about it, that their child had actually been abused by some of these young, or at least one of these young trainee pastors right out of college, that my wife actually had to intervene on his behalf and hold the youth pastor accountable for the treatment that he was given this young man, who was actually related to these people making the comment. Taking a 22-year-old and practice on your children. Wow. I will say that our youth ministry is incredibly effective because the kids know that we love them and that we're safe to be with, that we're mature, that when they ask us a question, that we've got an education on the subject matter and experience in applying it. And our protocol, we treat ourselves with a protocol as ministers of the gospel, as parents, whether we're doing Christian ministry or not, as if we treat ourselves and our conduct as if we are troublesome people who don't have self-control. We treat ourselves as if we are troublesome people who can do a great evil wrong if we're left to our own devices. That's how we treat ourselves. And the goal is so that there's a protection for your children, protection for our children, protection for your reputation, my reputation, everybody's reputation. So that, and again, church is out going to the state to do a criminal background check on people. And you know what doesn't show on criminal background checks? Incidents like this that have showed up in the news. I would say the church ought to be doing a more thorough investigation in private with the pastors and the elders, investigating people, and then say, okay, well, who's going to come up in 3 years and point out to us that you've done something wrong in the past? Who's going to let this cat out of the bag? Where are the cats? What have you done wrong? But what have you done? What is it that we need to hold you accountable for, as for your good? Why don't we do that? Why don't we treat everybody who's ministering to our children as if it's actually a top secret clearance? We don't go to the state. We go to the church. And when somebody comes into your church, we'll say, well, where did you come from? Who can I talk to that can tell me all about you? We don't do that. It takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? Well, I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is Preservative Talk Radio. I do try to take the issues of the day that pop up in the news, engage it on, and I'll tell you, a biblical basis so that you can hold me accountable to an objective standard. And you can give me a call at 833-469-6397. So you can give me a call to comment on this thing. You can ask me a question. You can hold me accountable to my standard in anything we talk about in the news. I'm going to kind of leave that one there. And there's probably more I could say on it. But you know what? I'm going to be here Monday through Thursday. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of things. And as I was saying earlier, that this is Martin Luther King Jr. National Holiday. Most times on this day, I actually quote things that he wrote. There's a letter he wrote from the Birmingham jail, and that's something I normally talk about. And because I will tell you that it's a model of courage. So here I'm talking about, and again, my wife challenged me when the next young men's retreat that we talk about courage. We've seen recently as we're watching our young men in our youth group that let's say a guy who's had a rough background and he's behaving one way when everything's good and all the right people are in the room. And then somebody with a rough background shows up that's kind of related to his old lifestyle, and a teenager has a tendency to start behaving as he used to. Now, it was subtle, very subtle, but we were seeing these characteristics of conforming to an immoral norm. And it wasn't immoral. I'm just saying an immoral person shows up, and all of a sudden you start schmoozing, you know, start acting. In fact, in the Bible, it talks about a time when Peter, they were having a big little fellowship dinner, and there were some people that were from the Jew community that showed up into the room. And Peter had been hanging around from the Hellenists, the Gentile, whatever term you want to use. He was hanging around with the Christians that weren't Jews. They weren't from the Jewish history, from the Jewish background. And as soon as the Jews showed up, Peter left the Gentile crowd, and I guess it's good to meet and greet the new guys that walk in the door. But Paul called him out because he tended to kind of morph to that other society, to morph back, to forget who he was as a new person, and morph back into that lifestyle. And that is what we've been seeing sometimes happening with young people. And again, as older adults, we know there's times that we've done that. And, you know, hopefully you've caught yourself on it. But my wife asked me to teach a series that we're going to be coming up here probably in the next month that talks about courage and the requirement to be courageous. and I'm going to, here's another thing that most people don't read. It's in the Bible, but it lists the people that burn in the lake which fire, right? You know, all know about that, right? The hellfire. You have all heard of that. But Revelation 21:8, when it lists all the people that are going to be burning in the fire, the first one on the list, this might amaze some people. The very first one on the list of burning in the lake of fire is cowards. Wow. That's pretty crazy, especially for guys. You know, guys are supposed to be courage. Land of the free, home of the brave. And I think it's absolutely certain if we are not being brave, we're not going to be free. If we as men do not exercise our bravery, not overseas with guns and bullets, right here on this land, to stand and say and do the right thing in every situation, no matter the cost, if we don't have the courage to be the brave right here on our land in front of our own children, we're not going to be free personally and our nation. It affects the entire neighborhood, our lack of courage. So we're going to introduce to you here at Preservative Talk Radio on this Nuga radio station, I'd say hopefully examples of courage, examples, real life stories of taking on the beast, taking on the evil one, taking on those things. In fact, even sometimes sticking your neck out in the church. You know, you don't want to be a troublemaker. You don't want to be divisive. But sometimes the church will start heading down a path that's sort of the immoral norm, immoral cultural norm. They'll start heading down that path and somebody needs to say, excuse me, I know this is, might seem a little awkward, but I want to point out that, you know, the broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many go thereby. And narrow and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it. Considering that, should we actually, like, be doing this crazy thing that everybody else is doing and the whole world's going to hell? It's going to take somebody to be courageous to stand. And in some cases, to be courageous to take the hit because you love somebody. Now, I'm going to tell you a story before we leave. I've got about 2.5 minutes. When I was a teenager, I lived in East L.A. I was a minority in East L.A. I was a white guy. It's a Scottish guy, okay, in East L.A. And I was surrounded by gangs. And I was in survival of the fittest. I knew how to fight. I took gratification in fighting. But then I came to Christ, and he gave me a new heart, a new mind. I was a changed person, no longer a criminal, no longer a thug. And I changed schools at the same time. I actually moved to a different city. So I'm going to this new school, and they see me standing there as the new kid, and I get literally 50 kids surrounded me with this one guy that if I wanted to, I could beat to a pulp. And this crowd got this guy to try to pick a fight with me. Now, I'm in Christ, and I know I'm supposed to turn the other cheek and everything like that. The guy says I'd called him a name, and I said, you know I didn't call you a name. You know that. Your friends are just putting you up to this because they want to see a fight. But I want to tell you, if there's anything that I've done to offend you, I want to apologize. Oh, my goodness. It just took away his ammunition. But the crowd were like, no, he's just scared of you. He's just scared of you. And they started chanting, hit him, hit him, hit him, hit him, hit him, hit. What's he going to do? What's a teenager boy going to do? A manly teenager boy. So he hit me. You know what he did? He discovered I've been hit before and it didn't bother me too much. Sort of like playing tackle football. You get kicked in the face all day when you're playing tackle football. Didn't faze me a bit. I got a bigger brother who likes to whack on my face, man. What you're doing doesn't bother me. But I said to him again, I said, if there's nice and calmly, if there's anything that I've done to offend you, I'd like to apologize. The guy crawled away. Not literally, but figuratively. Okay, that's introduction to Preservative Talk Radio. We're going to be back tomorrow, and I want you to tune into this Nuga Radio. It's going to make a difference in your life.